Show me what you got.
Turn your volume. Hey, Crippled System is playing.
Yeah.
How sure are you?
I can watch now.
What's it look like? How delayed is it?
I think we started.
Did we start?
I'm in the chat room now. And just in time to watch Andy turn towards me angrily. just this.
That's what you call a pretty intense start to an episode.
It looked exactly like when Ripley turns to look at the Queen Alien after the egg opens up.
Yeah, the egg opens up.
Like, really? Seriously? Yeah. That's what you gave me.
Where's my fucking flamethrower? Welcome to Crippled System episode 150. It's so special.
Divided by 12, it's a prime number.
Whee! That's true. If it can't be divided by 12, it's a prime number. That's actually how mathematics works.
We talked about that.
You have to start with 12, right?
Yeah.
you go 1, God. Skip 8, and then you get to 12.
Travis pointed out to me that the last one was a Chen prime and an Emir prime.
Is that a Lord of the Rings prime?
No.
It's an Elven prime number.
It's an Elven transformer, Emirp prime. No, Emirp is prime backwards, so it's just a reversible prime. Or 151 will be an Emirp prime. 149 wasn't. God damn it. No, it's not that it's a reversible prime. I apologize. Let me rewind. 151 will be a reversible prime because it's a palindrome and it's a prime. So even if you turn it around, it's still a prime, obviously, because it's a palindrome. Chen prime is a prime where two numbers higher is also a prime.
Okay.
Because some guy named Chen decided that that's something he wanted to name after himself. So if a prime number plus 2 is a prime number, it's a Chen prime.
I wonder, is there
an Emirp prime? So 149 backwards is 941,
yep,
which is also a prime. So all reversible primes like 151 are Emirp primes because obviously, you know, it reversed is going
to
be a prime.
Do those add any value to the... Like, I understand, you know, math is powerful, but knowing it's a reverse prime, does that equation work out anywhere? Am I like...
Does it matter?
Do I get to go to Mars on a rocket because, like, I know a reverse
prime? Will it ever come up that 149 is a prime and 941 is also prime?
If I am balancing my bank account, do I need to know this reverse prime shit? That's all I care about right now.
Hey, come on. Recreational math
is not a thing.
It doesn't help you get to the Mars rocket ship to Mars to play a video game, but it's fun. Well, it's fun to know that 149 backwards is 941, which is also prime.
I don't understand. That's not in any world in my world fun.
What about happy primes?
It's like trivia. Now you know.
Yeah, now you know.
Now I wish I didn't know.
We missed a happy prime back in the 130s. I don't think there's another happy prime for a while.
I don't know what a happy prime is.
It's a number that's happy and prime.
How do I make a happy number?
So you square the digits and add those all together. So like 13 would be 1 squared and 3 squared, so that's 1 and 9, and you add them together, it's 10.
Yep.
And then you do that again. So 1 squared is 1, 0 squared is 0, add those together, it's 1.
Yep.
You're eventually either going to get into a loop or you're going to get to 1. In this example of 13, we got to 1. That makes it happy.
All I know is someone very, very, very sad and lonely figured this all out. It says someone was in their room very lonely and sad, and they figured this out. And they go, oh, I made a happy number.
Also, as Tort brought up, if you're ever in the cube, it's important to know what factors that were themselves prime. It didn't matter if the number was prime.
I've watched all the cubes, and we never had any happy prime. Happy prime was never a factor in the cubes.
Any prime number, all of its factors will be prime, because its only factors will be itself and one, which are both prime, although arguably one isn't prime.
If I'm ever in the cube, and I'm in if I'm in the cube, all I'm going to do in room one is kill everybody, because I'm fucked anyway, so they're all going out with me.
I think this exact conversation is what killed Kurt Cobain.
Yeah. Someone explain happy primes to him.
Go to his bathroom.
Someone explain happy primes to him. So she came in and killed him.
Oh, that's where we're going.
That's where we always go.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm Brian, and I play Scorn.
I'm Nathan, and I like recreational math.
I'm John, not Jeremy. I also play Scorn.
Since when?
January.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're all switching factions for the year.
He's joining the Scorn Brigade.
I'm not switching until Mobius comes out.
Which is soon.
Which is like next week.
Yeah.
You're going Crix?
Just acid trip,
and
baby. Somebody
appropriated from some Crix from one of their friends, so now they're going to be selling some Crix cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Well, I think it was Loki who was like, hey, somebody owed me money, so now I have a bunch of their models. What? His buddy owned him money, so he just like, you know what, I'm just going to take all your models and we'll call
it even. You don't mess with the fuck for it. They take your shit.
Yeah. So somebody on the Five Fingers Forum.
Oh.
So somebody owed him money, and so he just took a bunch of that guy's models. Presumably that was an agreement and not just that he stole his stuff. And so now he has some cricks to dump because he didn't want the models. It was just the easiest way to get reimbursed the value of the money he was owed by his, you know, he's just like a bookie. He just stole his property and he's flipping it on the black market.
That's not good.
You owe someone money, you pay him the money.
Well, whatever. If you owed me $20 and you're like, hey, I have an extra blah, 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 and I might just give me that and we're even.
I owe you $13 and you owe me $20.
Oh, so give me that rock bottom.
I owe you $20.
For the our team, for the WITC.
Yeah, and he owes me $13 for the witch.
The witch.
The vivitch.
These are my sweatpants. I don't have overhead in my sweatpants.
That's fine.
Make it rain.
Boom. Look at that. Money
making it rain.
So should we go back to announcements, or did you do the thing you wanted to do?
What thing?
You wanted to do a thing.
You said the grumbles?
Oh, yeah. We have Zappity Grumbles from last week.
From last week?
Yep.
We forgot the answer. First?
No, fucking
no. We have new Zappity Grumbles. We can do them all.
No. We do these now.
Okay.
That's what I said. Missing them last week.
Yep.
Clearly.
Sure.
Because we care.
Yep, we care. Any thoughts on what would make a cool Minions Gargantuan? Dracodile.
Done. The Dracodile.
The octopus, but
yeah, maybe. It's obviously. No, that should have been a unit.
Yeah.
The Swamp Shambler should have been, or not Swamp Shambler, the Swamp Horror should have been a unit.
Should have been a Colossal with three or four tentacles.
Well, even, I don't know about Colossal. I would have liked if it was a unit. And it had the leader model was the head, and then it had eight small base models that were each a tentacle and had one attack. And so they just moved around and attacked shit. That would have been awesome.
With immobile on it, definitely. So you couldn't TK it or move it.
Yeah, I guess so. It could move.
It might almost have to have something. Can you wait?
The
hold
thing
on.
That
quick question.
Yeah,
can you rampager a beast swarm?
Yeah, I think one of them. Yeah,
okay, just one.
Yeah,
of them? Okay.
It doesn't get the whole unit. It's target war beast, so the one will move.
Okay,
give it what Tibby has. The thing that makes you can't just TK him. That's what Andy wants to have him have.
Yeah, but why?
So that you can't TK him, he said.
So? Like, why is it a big deal? What the fuck?
Hi!
Why is it a big deal? Why is it a big deal to be able to TK?
I don't know. I just don't...
You just take one of its tentacles and you use psychic forces to move it a little further.
Yeah.
You could TK someone's arm if you had telekinesis.
Yeah, but you can't TK it across the room.
Well, it's not going across the room. It's going 2 inches. Or 1 inch.
Exactly.
Two inches in game terms is like a good like 6 feet.
Drocodile. Grumble.
Obviously it's coming.
Yeah.
Drocodile or like a gigantic beast that Arcadius built.
Yes. If you end up with like a Glacier King.
Well, Robo-Drocodile, obviously.
Yeah,
you have Drocodile and Robo-Drocodile. I mean,
works for me.
I'm sorry, Mecha.
Mecha.
Mecha-Drocodile. I misspoke. Okay. I apologize to the world.
How dare you.
Zabity.
Grumble.
Best Merc Valley unit to take with P. Denny.
Probably the full pirate Sea Dog boarding crew
or the Nis.
Sea Dogs. I mean, really, any
the Sea Dog unit with the whole pirate boat, like the whole Sea Dogs with all the solos, is really strong under her.
But point for point, still,
yeah, I think so. Because they're 4+ tough, no knockdown. With her feet, they'll blow entire army units off the table. They get 14 shots, 15 actually, because Walls has 2 guns.
Oh,
so you got 15 guns. 3 of them are shockingly long range. They'll just tear through things. The riflemen are like 14 or something. The other guys are 10s, I think.
I believe so. I believe either they're 12s or
something like that.
Yeah. I think they may be 8s with 12s.
Like 8, 12, or 10, 14. Whatever. The point is.
It's not like this thing has got fucking war room.
They're shitty guns, but under her feet, everything's good.
Yeah,
and under Crippling Grass, anything's good.
Yeah. Zabity?
That's my. Well, I don't know if Brian or you disagree, but I think the Sea Dog unit's the best.
Grumble.
I honestly don't really care. Anything is good with her.
The 4-man units, the 3-man units, pretty good nowadays for point for value.
Yeah, the Devil Shadow is really solid.
Travis says it's 6 foot per inch.
That doesn't make any sense.
Why not?
So halberdiers have got
a 12-foot range.
12-foot
pole. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right. Halberds are about a 10-foot pole, and then they stick their arms out 2 more feet.
Yeah, those things. If then the model should represent it.
Halberds are definitely
bigger than the models. Halberds are about a foot and a half taller than them if you set the model next to its weapon.
So if the model's 2 inches tall, that dude's 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
Huh. Scrap the game. Nothing works.
Nothing works. It makes no sense. This game is horrible now.
I'm out. I'm going back to Age of Sigmar.
Back to.
Good thing new rumors are coming up.
Yeah.
Zavity grumble. What's up with Australia? Terrible hooking and pulling? I don't know what that
is. That a new phrase for taking people who are trying to come into your country and dragging them out to the ocean to die? Is that called hooking and pulling?
Is that something that's been happening?
Oh, yeah. So if you try to enter Australia, they do one of two things. They either put you on an island where you get raped to death, or they pull you out to the middle of the ocean and you're never seen again.
So there's a group of people doing that then?
The Australian government.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. This is their policy. Like, so when illegal immigrants come into America, we try to stop them, and then we ship them back to Mexico. And if they make it in, we're like, if you go to Australia, they either catch you. Well, if they catch you, they take you out to the middle of the ocean where you die, or they take you to a camp. Island. Yeah, they take you on an island. It's like an internment camp where you're just raped and murdered and starved to death, and it's terrible. But what they've done is they've started to they print out flyers and brochures, and they send those brochures to like third world countries that say, hey, this is a flyer from Australia. Just to let you know, if you try to come here, you're going to die.
Well, stay the fuck out.
I can send you a PDF of that flyer. It's fucking amazing.
Tort says that's only if you're brown, Nathan. If you're white, you get a free pass.
If you're white, you're not an illegal immigrant. You're a tourist.
An extended tourist.
But yeah, I am not exaggerating. Like, it's horrific. Someone should send Trump
this plan. He probably would embrace this idea.
That is terrifying.
It is terrifying. Look, it is the worst thing right now.
A first world government sends you to rape camp.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Zappity.
They do not want you. Well, to be fair, Australia traditionally doesn't like people being sent into Australia. It's bad for the people who are already there. Just ask the Aborigines how well it went for them when a bunch of people were sent to Australia. So now the new people are like, wait, we don't want to have our own comeuppance. So is that what hook and pull is?
I don't know. Tord is seemingly agreeing with what was talked in here.
I'm not making any of this up. Tord will back me up on this.
Yeah.
It's the most horrific thing about Australia right now. Tord
lives on the island, oddly enough.
Yeah. So somebody had mentioned, so Australia has its own Australia now?
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah.
It is scary. I do listen to a comedy duo kind of similar to like Jon Stewart was over here, Clark and Daw, and they do have some very entertaining commentary on the government of Australia. Comes out every Thursday.
They're not as cool as the Axis of Awesome. That's the best thing that's come out of Australia.
The what?
Axis of Awesome. I think it's.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys are. Anyway, Zappity.
Grumble. Fuck, marry, kill. Pam, Cheryl, or Mallory?
What? Fuck, marry, kill?
Mm-hmm.
Pam, Cheryl
or Mallory? I'm gonna say mine first. I'm going to fuck Cheryl because it would be awesome. I will actually marry Pam and then kill Mallory. That would be my...
I have to agree with that logic. I think. Or, well...
I'm marrying for money, so...
Well, that's the thing, except at various points in time, she's bankrupt and just has the appearance of money, or she's actually rich. So it kind of depends where you are in the claims on the character.
At least I can pretend like I'm rich.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if she actually has money, I think that's the right vote.
Still killing Mallory, though. And then...
No, if she's rich, you marry her.
Mallory? No.
No, I'm not talking Mallory. I'm talking Cheryl.
You're killing her?
No, I'm marrying Cheryl.
You're marrying Cheryl? What?
I told you, I'm marrying for money.
No, I forgot she legit is rich.
She is Cheryl, but she is Cheryl. She's fucking insane.
John's having his penis cut off in the second week.
Worst things have happened.
Yeah.
Did you see what she did to her own ocelot?
And I'm fine with that.
It's baboon. Baboon. I said baboon, but baboon.
Ocelot named baboon.
No, we're marrying Cheryl. Fucking Pam.
No, I would be terrified of being married to Cheryl.
Yeah.
It's one and done. Because I might not even survive the one. Like, there's no guarantees you're coming out of that alive.
Worst things have happened.
Pam, well, come on. You get shanties. You go and do street fight boxing every day. Yeah. That's pretty adventure. Reliable.
She seems...
I mean, Coke Pam's pretty cool, too. I kind of like Coke
Pam. Oh, I'd get her back on Coke.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, how are you going to afford Coke?
That's
with,
fine.
With
she was literally kilos at a time.
So?
We'll find a way.
Yeah, but see...
They found a way.
Yeah.
They had an entire... Every, yeah.
Yeah, they found a way.
Coke strong.
Love will find a way.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Alexis Appity.
Grumble. What's the best standalone graphic novel comic book story? It's not a standalone, but it's probably my favorite story is the Kraven's Last Hunt.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty standalone. If you know who the characters are,
correct.
It's a contained arc. Correct. Like, it's not like The Watchmen, where it introduces the characters, has a story, and then it's over. But if you know who Spider-Man and Kraven are, it's self-contained.
Vermin and Cap.
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to go with The Watchmen.
Yeah, I mean, Watchmen is...
like, the safest bet.
Yeah, I mean, that's the pinnacle of if you're going to talk about literature in comic book form in a fully contained thing, it's got to be the best one ever.
Dark Knight Returns is another... Again, that's another one. Another one we need to. But that is more of a standalone story because that's built.
For again, them. It relies on you know who Batman and the Joker are. So it depends on how standalone has to be.
Correct.
If it has to completely start from a blank slate, you really are really limited.
I like the stand of the graphic novel of for Preacher of the Saint of Killers has like a five. Heart thing, which again you have to know who he is, but really, or you don't know who he is, and it's this guy who's hunting down the devil and God. Either way, it's
Spawn's also another good one.
Since you took Watchmen away from me, I'm gonna go with the first arc of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
So, I have not seen that.
So
I
read
that
rather.
You haven't read League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Did you see the movie? The movie's terrible.
It's just like the movie.
Yeah, except not terrible. But League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, have you seen the shitty movie with Sean Connery?
I've seen the shitty movie.
That is fucking unfortunate. The good news is the book has nothing to do with the movie, so you might like it.
That's fantastic news.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the movie.
Fuck!
I didn't hate it.
He is the new Jeremy. What was good about it? Nothing?
I'll say what was good about it. The Frankenstein scenes were actually
happy. That
you mean Hyde?
Hyde. Yeah, Hyde was actually the
Mr.
only one.
Mr. Sausage Arms?
That was fine with me. I'm fine with large characters being goofy like that. Hyde was fine.
I didn't hate it.
I did not hate it either. What? I did not enjoy it either.
I guess it can be entertainingly schlocky. Like, I guess I'll grant it that.
I saw it, and I went, oh, that was a thing I saw, and then I moved on.
Yeah. I didn't pay to see it, nor would I pay to see it.
You know what Venice doesn't have? Roads or graveyards. So I don't know how you have, like, a 40-minute action sequence slash chase scene slash whatever set in Venice entirely on roads and in a graveyard.
I didn't realize they were in Venice. Wasn't paying that close attention.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Zappity.
Rumble.
Are we still zappity? Are we
done? That's it. We're done.
Announcements.
The Kickstarter is still going, as promised last year. And it's going pretty well, actually. People have been very generous. It's actually been super cool to see the community coming together to help this stuff. I was trying to pull it up here. We did reach our initial funding goal. Of the $5,000. So the good news is that unless people just randomly start yanking out...
which is my plan.
Yeah, like people will wait until the last day and withdraw everything and we'll lose every single penny because that's how Kickstarter works. But assuming that doesn't happen, we do have money in the bank from this, which is great. We're up to $5,730. Excuse me, burp. We obviously need more because our initial funding goal was $5,000, and that's just because we hoped that we could make that. And if you don't make your initial goal, you get nothing. So we didn't want to put forth like $13,000 and end up getting nothing out of it. But this is not enough money to run it. We need more. Every penny that we raise through this is money that we don't have to push on to the entry fees, and we want to keep the entry fees down for the WITC and the ATC to make it attractive and affordable for everybody to come to. I think that I did a relatively decent job of putting rewards out there. Like at the $100 level, you end up getting an iron-on embroidered patch. You get a set of four dice, three of one color and one of another, so you can do dice rolls and everything. You get a challenge coin, which somebody asked what a challenge coin was, and I guess Google doesn't exist for Macs, but what a challenge coin is, it's basically like a steamroller coin.
Well, a challenge coin is a military thing, basically, where you right. have a coin of some sort that you go to like a bar or something like that, and you yeah. present them. Whoever doesn't have their coin will end up paying for
it. It's a little thing to show that you're part of a group. It's part right. of a club. You know, so you meet somebody who's good, and you can show the coin, look at us, we're so cool. But it's, you know, the easiest way to visualize is like a steamroller coin. So you get one of those, and then you also get a t-shirt, and all that shit's going to include the logo that's being designed by Florian, who is the one who did our six-pack logo. He's done a lot of other stuff. You can look at his website. It's all super, super good. What the fuck? And then we're starting to unlock stretch goals, hopefully. And so,
how long till your stretch goal?
So I put it at 6,500. We've kind of slowed down. I'm trying to decide. I wasn't sure whether we have three stretch goals. The first one is at the first one is two pint glasses. Because I figure I can't just give one pint glass. You have to have a glass for your yeah, opponent. Absolutely. So it's two pint glasses. The second one is going to be a set of bases with the logo on it. You know, large and medium bases to use like proxies and flags and objectives.
I thought you said small on the Kickstarter.
I meant to say large and medium. Small wouldn't make much sense.
You said for proxy bases.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do two of each.
Fair.
That would work. Maybe small, medium, and large. Pack new announcement, small, medium, and large. It'll be two of each sides. Boom. And the third one's going to be a set of steamroller zones. And I had those at $1,500 each, depending on how the Kickstarter is going, because I want all three of those to unlock. And so if it's going slowly, I might drop it to a grand for each jump. And so do it at 6, 7, and 8 instead of 65, 8, and 95. But we'll see. But right now, we're still chugging along. If you already donated, thank you. Please talk to people in your group that haven't donated and see if they can help out. Because like I said, we really want to make sure that this happens and is as awesome as possible.
Awesome. Cool.
That's yeah. my thing.
No, yeah. It's been chugging along. It looks pretty cool. People are throwing money in. It's been, I think all the communities have shared it. I know Travis went on to Muse last week.
Yes.
For a chunk of their episode and also was putting forth some discussion on a topic. They were very excited about it.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, everyone, yeah, it's out there everywhere. It's gonna be cool. I mean, having a big event like this in the U.S. would be very exciting.
Yeah.
Especially close to Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, it helps us obviously, but I mean, someone had to run it. Just happens that people who want to run it yeah. are here. So I mean, no matter where it gets run in the country, someone wishes we'd been closer to them, but then you'd have the exact same like dynamic yeah. somewhere yeah. else.
I think we're a decent location. I mean, obviously, I'm going to think that because you know we live here, but I think that we're a decent area just because we're centrally located on the continent. You know, some people are like, oh, you could have it like in LA, like okay, but then literally everybody has to fly, like you know.
Hotels are also a lot
cheaper. Hotels are a lot cheaper here.
Yeah.
You know? We can pull. I mean, we're close to Canada, so some of the Canadian teams can come down. Some obviously can't.
I think a lot more people can road trip. And the thing is, like, yeah, Milwaukee, like, isn't as big as some other places, but we do have an international airport in Milwaukee. And worst case scenario, the site is an hour and a quarter away from O'Hare. Like, just fly to O'Hare. You know, it's one of the biggest airports in the world. Just fly there and then rent a car and drive an hour. You're fine.
Yeah.
Can you kill your stream?
Oh, sorry.
So, yeah, good times.
I killed my stream.
It's been killed in the face.
Take that, stream.
Punch. Do we have... So that's a good announcement. Obviously, Adepticon's coming up at the end of the month. I'm assuming some of you, you are all going to be there to some degree, playing or running events.
Adepticon will be there.
You'll be doing Iron Arena. You're going to be doing some sort of...
I think I signed up for the competitive events, like the Masters and the IG.
Oh, did you sign up for the competitive flight or whatever
it was called? I signed up for one of the flights. I think it was the competitive flight.
I think I'll be going down with... I probably will be going down with on Saturday with Jeremy and the Shays to just say hi, but I won't be there other than just on Saturday.
Sure.
But you figure it's too close not to go down for a day and say hi to everyone because it's, you know, a 2-hour drive. And now that it's North Chicago, it's even quicker than before.
Nicer, yeah.
I didn't bother to verify that I have a ride or a hotel room, but the last like 7 conventions I've ridden down and stayed with Dan. So if I don't have a ride and a hotel room, I'm just gonna be angry at Dan.
Yeah. That's why you're weird. Like when it comes to an event, I make sure I have like events planned out for years ahead of time.
Well, I figured like it was a pattern now. Like I am assuming that Dan and I
probably in, but it's good to have the conversation. Like it's like you haven't had the conversation.
I did with War Machine Weekend. Remember, like we were here and I wasn't sure. And the next day, I'm like, "Hey, Dan," and he's like, "Yeah, we're fine." And then so I just think.
So Dan, if you're listening to this, you should probably touch base with Nathan and tell him he's screwed, and we'll all laugh.
I'll commute every day,
or sleep in his room anyway.
Yeah, just whatever. I'll sleep in the Iron Gauntlet room or the Iron Arena room.
Iron Arena.
It's open 24/7.
Yeah. Just crawl under a table and sleep. No one will notice.
Yeah. Just do it in the area where they're playing tournaments.
Well, like the gaming area is open 24/7 at Gen Con. So, like, I don't know why people don't do that to save money. Just wear shades and pretend like you're playing a game.
The hotel people at Adepticon, if you, like, sit down somewhere, will talk to you and say, "Hey, you can't be right here. Go to your room."
No, be awake. Or like, not be awake.
If you
be
sit
like,
down and you like start to just doze off a little bit, they're on you.
Well, not like in the lobby. I'm saying like if you and I set up a game on a table in the IG area.
Okay.
Or the Iron Arena area, rather. And we just sat on either opposite sides of it and just like napped with our heads in our hands. So it looked like we were both looking at the game. We might get away with it.
Maybe.
It'd be kind of amusing one way or another.
Or we take shifts, like, you know, an hour at a time. One naps while the other person just stares at the board. And if anybody comes by, the guy's like, "Oh, hey, are those... Oh, okay, cool."
Yeah, no, it's clearly my turn. He's just resting his eyes while I roll my dice.
That's not a miserable night.
Taking hour naps, shifting back and forth?
Yeah.
You have a book or something.
Could be worse.
He's resting his eyes while I look up the rules in my Night Angel trilogy.
Good times. So there we go. Those are our announcements. I figure we should at least talk about Adepticon.
There's that 35-point event coming up in March yet.
There's one here in Madison. Misty. Yeah, Misty.
I forget the weekend it's at.
The 17th or the 9th?
I think it's the 19th. The 19th.
That's good. Because I'm out of town. I'm out of town the 25th.
I work the 19th. Wah, wah.
How convenient.
Wah, wah. Well, it means I have the 12th off for something that's happening on the 12th.
I don't know.
I thought something was. I'm sure this is all thrilling for the people listening to us. Andy's having issues with the stream, I think.
Something's happening over there. Something's happening. I don't know. I'm moving.
Are we still broadcasting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
We're not broadcasting. I'm restarting the modem.
Oh, we're recording but not broadcasting?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Well, that's recording.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. There was something on the stream that was basically taking up all the access. Oh. So if it was Jeff, then whatever he was doing just got cut off.
Sorry, Jeff.
Take that, Jeff.
Yeah. We played Game of Thrones today. That was exciting.
That was fun.
I'm glad. I'm just happy that my strategy of being friendly with someone pays off occasionally.
Yeah, he kind of hit a brick wall and couldn't end up in where he needed to be.
Well, I mean, we played the game. It was Game of Thrones 2nd Edition, fantasy flight board game for the people who don't know that. And it's 6 players.
Yep.
And I was playing Dorne. The guy next to me was playing Martell, you were playing
Greyjoy.
You were playing Baratheon.
And it went badly for me.
And we had some random guy playing Winterfell and a random guy playing Lannister. Random people. I mean, we know them, but no one that the internet knows that we know knows those people.
Correct.
And we played for about, it was about a 5-hour game.
Yep. Yeah.
We all sat down expecting that, which is always, you know, when you got a crew of people who are willing to do that, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's when it's like a surprise 5-hour game and the guy's like, "I want to go."
Yeah, when you sit down for Blood Rage and then one person is terrible at analysis paralysis, so the game takes 6 hours or 5 hours, that's when it's terrible.
Yeah, because, yeah.
But when you sit down for Dune or Game of Thrones or whatever and you're like, "This is going to take 5 or 6 hours," and everybody knows that, there's not an issue.
You know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
So me and Nathan had very similar type things. Like, I wanted to play in the South for 2 reasons. One, I haven't seen the South win really ever, and it's just it's just a challenging part of the map, and I've done well in other parts of the map. So I wanted to challenge myself, and I wanted to see if me and Highgarden could ally and be pretty much on truce for the game. We still had strong borders. We still had defensive orders, so we weren't like being completely ridiculous, but we definitely had a little bit of level of trust for support and back and forth. Nathan tried the same deal with his border partner, who basically attacked him on turn 2 and threw everything into chaos
right out of the game
for a while because he couldn't understand the idea of being trustworthy long. Because, I mean, if you betray someone on turn 2, they're going to come at you for a long time, where if you're... You know, if you're
doing it on turn 8,
they can't come back at you nearly as hard because you do it so late. But when you show you're that untrustworthy on turn 2, no one's going to trust you the entire game because obviously, because you have an opportunity to take advantage of something, doesn't mean you should take advantage of it early game.
And because of it, he ended up taking the lead like on turn four,
which is also a bad thing to do early in a war game.
Yeah,
if you can't close the door, and he actually was of the opinion that with six players, it's impossible to do the immediate victory condition where the game just ends and you declared victory. He's of the opinion, which might be true, that in the six player version, you always go to turn 10 and it goes to who's winning at the time.
I have,
which means that getting into the lead at turn four is terrible.
With six out of the seven required was the worst move he could have done.
Yeah, if he thinks it's impossible to get to seven. Yeah.
And the game is seven's an instant win. So if you're at six and you just have a ridiculously lucky turn, you just instant win. And we've actually seen, I've seen people get seven multiple times. So I've seen.
In second edition?
Yeah. Oh, okay. You did it with one of those factions.
I didn't think that was second edition.
Yeah,
was it?
Yeah, we played out a bit.
Oh, okay. But that, I mean, that hardly counted because I was cheating because I had two factions.
Yes, that is true. But it was a fun game. I mean, it was your first time playing it.
Yeah.
And Baratheon's a pretty powerful faction, so you got to at least have
you need to get the barrels, though. Baratheons have no barrels around them except one to the south of King's Landing, and they have to go forward and to the right of the map when you're looking at it from the north is to your right and south is to your left.
Fascinating.
Well, it's a game more of skill because there's no dice rolling. It's based on you have hard numbers of models and you have cards that you each person has a card.
There's that's perfect knowledge.
Like there's perfect knowledge in the game. So it's a very high strategy game. But everyone has counters against everyone else. Like I had cards that were countering John. John had cards that were countering me. I had cards. All your allies. So it's this ridiculous nonsense where you're always trying to you're trying to scrape and crawl. And then when across the entire game. So it's a fun board game. But again, it's a 5-hour game.
Yep. The only thing you don't have perfect knowledge of is there's three decks of cards at the top.
The event deck, yeah.
And you don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
But during your turns, the turn starts with random events. But once that's done with, as far as moving and attacking and combat, everything is math. There's no randomness.
And you even know the hands of what your opponent can play for their cards.
Yeah.
Which is what I like about that game.
Yeah,
it does have some flaws, but it's I think it's a very solid game.
It's very high in my kind of games that are more war oriented. It's very high in my ranking of games.
Yeah,
for a while I felt it was the best game out there, but I've now it's been knocked down a little bit. But it's still a game that I would never not be unhappy to play.
Yeah, for a while when it first came out with the errata, the first edition was my go-to favorite 5-player game. But yeah, it's other good things have come out, so through no fault of its own.
Exactly, the games are just getting better. So it's not like it's gotten worse, it's just games have evolved at these really great levels.
True story.
So that was a part of afternoon, so I know I...
As Greyjoy, we took Winterfell like we're supposed to. I tried to recreate the books. I almost came back from behind, and then the deck's like, oh, that was cute, let's just stop pretending. And then I was out of the game.
And Doran somehow squeaked it out.
Yep.
It was a close shenanigans.
Yep.
You stopped Winterfell from winning.
Yes, I stopped. Winterfell was...
You stopped the Starks.
Take that.
The Starks aren't allowed to be successful.
And then Highgarden chose to not come into you to keep the truce that you guys had the whole game.
Yeah.
Because if he did that, Lannister would have won, and we don't want that.
Yeah. Well, and you could have taken them completely out of the game.
You
could have eliminated Lannister and given the Starks a shot.
Well, yeah, and then the Starks would have came into there.
Yeah, and I was torn. Maybe I should have eliminated Lannister, because the way I could have eliminated Lannister was by taking my own capital back. And when it comes to kingmaking, it's difficult to decide what to do. And so you kind of have to come and decide. You're either just overtly saying, I want player X to win over player Y, or you have to find another justification for your decision so that that's not how you're deciding it. And in games that have victory points, the easiest thing for me to do is you decide on one of two things. Either do the thing that gets you the most points, regardless of who ends up winning, that way you're Which just doing fair. For you. Or what I go to is do the thing that moves you up the most spaces. So if I can earn 10 points, I won't do that as much as if I can gain myself 5 but knock somebody else 6, if that puts me above them in the rankings. Even if I'm bashing the person who's in second to last, if it moves me from last to second to last, I was improving my position. Yeah. And so with games with victory points, you can do something like that, and you can justify it with strict greedy math. But in a war game, you can't really. So if I had eliminated Lannister, I would have been done so by reclaiming my homeland, which probably fluff-wise was the thing to do. But I did it to fuck Stark, because I had used the same card to fuck over Stark four times, and this gave me a fifth opportunity, and well, I could and there not. You
go. And for Highgarden, like Highgarden had a card to let him do two attacks, which would have given him the game, but both me and Lannister happen to have counters.
What card did you have to counter? I know the Lannister one was Tyrion.
It forces him to retreat where he came from, and I also retreat. So basically, it just
cancels the battle.
Cancels. It's a cancel.
Yeah.
So it does basically create. So he couldn't take two from either of us. And then I was just happy that he actually helped a guy who was actually helping him the entire game instead of just randomly helping someone. So even though he kingmakered me, I literally was helping him for 10 turns. So it wasn't like
you had many chances to not help him. You even helped him in three battles against me.
He even helped him after that guy.
And that guy said, "Well, I'm not going to help you against me again." So
yeah, he stopped helping me at one point because he was paranoid of
what Brian I still helped that help. Guy three times, and then when Brian needed help, he's like, "Sorry." Nope.
He flipped a coin to decide whether he'd help him or not.
Yeah, that's which like, to be fair,
which is the same as not helping. Like you're making that declaration.
I would have taken my knights and ran right down his throat with them.
Yeah. Oh, it was tempting. I'm like,
"Hey, Brian, you want King's Landing? Don't care. Going down Highgarden's throat."
Yeah. It's an interesting game. It's good to play a good, big, thick war game that takes all day.
Yep.
Wouldn't have had any more damn nice barrel problems. Once in a while.
Do you have any stories, Andy?
No.
I wanted to chime in.
You guys have been so entertaining for the last.
You've been over there dicking around with your computer. We wanted to give you time. We found a topic the three of us could talk about so that you could focus on fixing the stream.
Yeah.
Did you manage to fix the stream?
Yeah.
See, now that you're back involved with the conversation here, we will stop the conversation that you don't care about and switch to one that you do care about.
I don't care. I'm about very anything? Nihilistic today.
All right. Should we have like a 5-minute War Machine talk?
We don't care about anything.
6-minute War Machine.
Is there anything War Machine-ish that's anyone interesting have right any? Now?
I
bought two Gobber Chefs this week.
I actually want one. I need to get one.
You couldn't have them because he bought them.
I know. I saw one on the shelf, but I knew that it was supposed to be on hold for you, so I was like,
They had the one on hold for me, too. Oh, so right. So I that's how I bought two. It's one was on hold, and then I just bought the second one, because why not?
I bought a bunch of mercs for my Scorn. I got Chuck, and I got some of the Bog Shooter Ambusher guys. I did play Xerxes 2 with Drake Spam and Gators, and I just rolled over. Not rolled. Dan was playing Haley 3, and I won that game pretty well. It's pretty interesting because it was fun to play that list into something that's pretty good and still and be able to come on the top.
I felt good beating Morvana 2 with pigs. It's nice having RFP on trees. Like, fuck you, you're not bringing those back.
When Xerxes feats, those Drake's brain is just ridiculous. Oh,
I'd imagine.
It is glorious.
It was pretty. I was there to see that part of it. I wanted to come down and play a game, but I just couldn't fit time for it.
8-inch sprays?
Yeah.
You're at 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, with signs of importance, they're basically some
are,
7.
And some are walking, and a lot of them I'm able to walk 8 because they have mobility, so it's just everything.
And they're magical, so if they do happen to get into an incorporeal Haley, it's goodbye.
Do remember, though, if you are playing in a tournament, you are playing Xerxes 2, you make sure you mention to everybody in the tournament that's playing Scorn that they also receive his feat.
Yeah.
Has that been errated yet? Because it says
all models.
Well, it's not friendly faction. So yeah, it's literally everybody.
All models are in Xerxes.
Yeah, the whole room is
in the planet.
Yeah,
yeah.
All models.
So we should also make a nationwide tweet as well.
Tweet out Xerxes 2 feet up until further notice.
And my point is, it also doesn't clarify that they're only War Machine and Hordes figure models. So you know,
you could be playing Age of Sigmar, and then boom, I got Xerxes 2 feet.
You feat with Xerxes 2, you need to tweet out and let Kate Upton know that she is in Xerxes 2's control area because she's a model.
Oh, yeah, true, true.
Or, That's so bad.
Yeah, Kate Upton, you're in on Xerxes 2's control area. Bloop. She's just like, what?
She's like, boobies.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's her response.
Yes,
that's
what she says. It might boobies. Be. She just goes, boobies. Puts her phone back down.
That's probably accurate.
I don't think that's... No.
You don't know. Maybe that's what she's like.
Maybe she likes boobies, Andy.
Maybe she just likes saying the word boobies. It's a fun word.
It's a fun... It is a fun word. In my role, she says the word boobies a lot.
Yeah.
Is it...
I'm actually saying that in Brian's world right now.
Boobies is a fun word. Wiener is a fun word, too.
I'm thinking about kicking this person out of the chat, though. His name is Vox Player.
The fucker's not on our podcast today.
Vox player.
That guy's terrible.
I heard Vox, and I was thinking of Vox. Oh, he's not on Clockwork anymore. Vox. Because Alex doesn't play War Machine. He quit his podcast. He likes Guild Ball. He's moving to California.
Oh, sadness.
Everything is sad.
Speaking of Guild Ball,
is this an announcement?
This is kind of an announcement.
They're doing like a 2.0 now again? Or
No. Oh,
whatever.
So,
Muse, are we going to piss off another community?
Yep, I'm going to try to. Muse at Minis Con is coming up.
Yeah.
And so they have, you know, it's mainly centered around War Machine. They have a couple side games like Infinity, X-Wing, and this thing called Guild Ball.
Blood Bowl.
And I am going to run a Blood Bowl tournament.
Yeah. See, I was shouting that out for you. I was segueing that in.
Yeah. Go with the Guild Ball thing. I am hopeful that I can pull more people than what they can pull in.
The Europeans are coming for it, so probably not anymore.
For Guild Ball?
Yeah.
I bet you we could probably Europeans still
play Blood Bowl.
Bet you we could still
play. Yeah, but some of the guys who I support, I mean, some of they're coming for Guild Ball, some of those guys.
That's what are they really?
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, some like Jamie P.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, considering the Blood Bowl equivalent of the WTC was double of the regular the War Machine WTC. It was 912 players played and paid to go to a country and play Blood Bowl. 912 players.
And they played for five rounds, so you could have like 84.
No, that's like 2 days worth of Blood Bowl, too.
It was more. They do five games. Usually they do more than five games.
They do definitely more than five. I know that for sure.
That's cool.
But it's, I mean,
that's good.
That's a lot of people.
It's insane for a game that's over 12 years old.
And is terrible.
No.
It's D6 not terrible. System breaks my brain.
Yeah. It does hurt.
They have to. I'm telling you, they get our idea of the no fumble or no turnovers on anything outside of a ball loss and on back.
Yeah. We should just do that. We should do a local league with that house rule, and I think that'd be a lot of fun because I'd play it. Jim would play it. I think we'd get a good turnout because you remember that conversation, right?
I know.
Turnovers only if the ball hits the ground.
I would like
the first thing you do is a block like with a reroll, and you just roll double skulls, and it's like, okay, I didn't want to play anyway.
I know. I would like to see what they do because they're talking about doing a revision. I'd like to see what they're doing now, considering the rules for that game are dated. They're completely dated. Well,
they came out in like late 80s, 80s-ish?
No.
The
current edition was basically third edition. It's just built off of third edition. That came out in like 94.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's 20 years old. The rules are old enough to drink.
No, but I mean, like the newest version of Blood Bowl, the Living Rulebook 6 that everyone plays with, that's within the last, I want to say 12 years.
Yeah, but that's just a little polishing.
It's a lot of polishing, but it's the basic core rules is still the same as then. Yes. So I'd like to see if they do a revision of Blood Bowl, I'd like to see what they do with it to bring it in rules competitive wise to other games.
Are they remaking the teams?
I mean, that's not their priority. Is making
it's,
a game.
It's part of the specialist games line, and they're redoing.
Yeah, No, I know they're. I know that they're going to redo it, but you're going to say to bring it into a competitive balance level, and the answer is won't.
Well, no, it's not going to be. It's not going to be balanced. Blood Bowl has never been balanced.
Yeah,
they'll bring it to a competitive level. I mean. We were just talking about it. As you guys were talking about playing back in the day, playing Game of Thrones, and nowadays, now that you play it, the rules are a little bit wonky.
Yeah,
because there's other systems out there. I'd like to see what they can do if they can actually bring out a modern set of rules
for us. I would be very. I mean, man, the community. Some of the Blood Bowl community would flip their fucking shit brainstorm. they would shit themselves if they changed the rules. And I would. Oh man, I'd have to go back to the forums.
It would be pretty.
Trolling Blood Bowl forums was. That's where I learned a lot of my trolling days got really fine. I got banned from a lot of forums.
Just the rules from going into Living Rulebook 6. There was a lot of people there freaking out about how things were being changed.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if they revamped the rules.
I guess I'm pessimistic about, you know, like Blood Bowl could be revamped in a lot of interesting ways and polished really well. I just don't think the mindset of the company that it would be done.
I don't think it would actually be really fully handled by GW, though. It would probably be handled more by Cyanide, the video game company that's been working with it for a while.
I mean, yeah, if they shop it out to somebody who cares more about the competitive solid rule writing aspect of it, mm-hmm. they could do a really good job because mm-hmm. the spirit of it is there, the main mechanics there, the grid based thing. I mean, it's a very, very good game with a few glaring things that are data, like the D6 mechanic system and the turnover system. I like the turnover system. It's just there's no reason that an offensive block halfway across the field from the ball should cost you your entire turn.
I can tell you the reason why those rules were put into play is because from a game over 20 years old, Blood Bowl Second Edition, it made it just basically so games, if you sat down and played a game with somebody, it took 6 hours. Because you were able to take an action with every single one of your players. And if you take an action with every single one of your players every single turn, the game will go for 6 hours.
Well, you still have timers, which just comes into play a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, you have timers, so you don't need the turnover thing, right? If every turn you get, what, 4 minutes?
Well, that's an optional rule, though. I mean, that's...
So make it not optional. To my knowledge, it's not really optional.
It is an optional
rule. Having the timers optional?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was mandatory.
No.
Because it's even a thing, like, if you don't flip the timer, like, you lose a timeout and shit like that. Like, isn't that in
there
the core?
There was something about, I forget.
No, if you forget to move your turn marker, it's an illegal procedure.
Gotcha.
Illegal procedure, sucker.
Either way, but I mean.
Then you laugh. I don't think the PC game makes you do that.
No, it just always has the timer and always moves your turn marker, so it's not a necessary thing. It's just, you know, it's the D6 mechanic. The strength of the D6 mechanic is that anything can succeed and mm-hmm. anything can fail. And I don't even mind the 1 out of 6 times. I just mind that, you know, you have a 99%er, you do it as your first action, and the game just says, nope, you lose your entire turn. It's like playing War Machine, and the first time you roll Snake Eyes, you just lose a turn.
No, I understand that, but I would like it if it was increased to like a better bell curve, like a 2D6 system or something like that. It would make it a little bit more fluid, I think.
Maybe.
See a good turnout, though, for MomCon. You should. I mean, there will be enough people playing it.
I'm guessing. I mean, there is an actual podcast, a well-known podcast for it that's in Iowa City.
Did you contact them?
No. But I know the guys.
Yeah, so, you should let them know that you're going to be there.
Yeah. One person already has.
So you contacted them.
I didn't contact them.
You are in contact with them?
I didn't know. Somebody else who was on the committee for the scheduling and that had said, oh, I'll let them know.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't trust people enough for that.
Well, he seemed very, very keen on it.
Are there Blood Bowl forms you can go to?
Yeah.
To,
yep. There's. Yeah. I know a couple of the Blood organizers.
BloodBowlCentral.org?
No.
Yeah.
No, BloodBowlCentral.com.
Yeah, .com.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a space in the webs.
Yeah. It is. Well, you know, lesson learned. You know, just in general, don't be a fan of GW's works or else they'll shut down your website.
No, they didn't shut down my website.
Who was it that got shut down by the cease and desist?
Just about everybody else but me.
Yeah.
No, my site's just
I sure fine. Love Space Marines. Up, you use the term Space Marines, lawsuit, shut down. How dare you like us?
They may be just an overzealous legal department that has no check on them whatsoever.
Yeah, it might be.
But
Blizzard and GW ever gone at it?
Like, are you trying to do slash fiction of two companies having sex?
Who do you think's first? That's my question to John right now.
Starship Troopers.
I would guess Space Marines from 40K were before Space Marines from Blizzard.
Correct. Yep.
Because Space Marines from 40K existed way back before
StarCraft or whatever. But a fucking orc. I mean, a fucking Space Marine. Like, you're not making up new stuff.
They invented space and sex.
Well, that's why now
they didn't make up space and sex because that's fucking aliens.
Or Starship Troopers.
They made up French people, right? Yeah, Bretts are. No, like, well, that's why now there aren't orcs in Warhammer anymore.
Oh,
there are Ur-ra-ra-rocks. Because they can sue you if you mention Ur-ra-rox.
And they should. If you say that name,
you should just be punished.
That's their punishment.
Yeah, somebody was just mentioned. Like, he thought the Blood Bowl community died with GeoCities. You should go and check out thenaf.net. It is the kind of like the community hub for Blood Bowl. Basically, you go and get your tournaments. It's the same place like how Magic the Gathering is done, where you can have your ranking done, in a sense. That's what the NAF.net is.
They don't have to live underground like the people from Demolition Man. hiding correct. From GW's lawyers.
Correct. Well, they did because they got shut down for to having bloodbowl.net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they.
Well, I don't think they got shut down. They were basically just asked to change it.
Yep.
But anyway.
I don't want to hate them. I really don't. It's not like a hobby of mine. I just see shit like you, that. I'm just like, God, I fucking hate you.
The company makes it easy.
I just, yeah. Like, it just boggles my mind. Like, who goes, hey, look, these people have fan art. We should probably punish them for actually liking us. Hey, that guy got a tattoo and put a picture of his tattoo. Let's sue him. Like, well, the fuck? He got a tattoo of your game logo. Like, he loves you. He fucking loves you. And your response is to sue him. I just don't get it.
For I don't want to sound like I'm always defending him, but I haven't seen anything of recent for that.
But you never should have seen it ever.
But it happened.
I know, right? You never should have seen it ever.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and like the thing that happened with the Blood Bowl models, where the company
that discussion is like 7 years old. They haven't done a single thing for that.
But the mindset that did that, like
they said it offhandedly. Yes, they. I mean, did they follow through with any of that? Did they actually pull the rules for Blood Bowl off of their website?
Did the other company back down?
No.
Even still, the mindset of your response, another company is selling models for your game, and your response is to fuck over the community. Not sue that company, but to fuck over the fan base that had nothing to do with it.
They didn't.
But that's what they threatened to do. Like, why would that be your go-to thing?
I don't know. I'm done with the conversation.
Okay. No, that's fine. Like, if somebody sells a fucking War Machine look-like model and Privateer Press announced that they're shutting down all Steamroller tournaments everywhere and nobody can buy a Steamroller kit because they think that's the appropriate thing to do, you'd be cool with that? Didn't follow through with it. My point is the mindset that's their first thought is like, hey, this is what we should threaten to do. We should threaten to fuck over the community. We shouldn't do something to the company that's threatening us. Their first thought as a solution was to threaten to screw over all of their fans.
Zappity.
Grumble.
I'm shocked you can defend that. The fact that they didn't do it.
It wasn't actually printed per se from Games Workshop that they said they were going to do this. It may have been something that was misheard or misquoted from somebody that did it. They never went ahead and actually pulled the rules for the game because third-party companies were making Star Player models. They never did that.
I know they didn't do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying is maybe the quote itself actually didn't exist from Games Workshop itself. Or it may have been taken by somebody else who was quoting for them.
All right.
It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Recommendations?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm drinking my water. I'm thirsty. I'm my 17th thing of water today. I'm going to pee later.
You should drink lots of water. Not too much, though. You'll die like that lady who drank all the water to win a Wii.
But I constantly pee. I don't stop peeing so I can keep drinking water. As long as it's coming in and out the exact same ratio.
That's good. It should come out, and it comes out the same color, too.
Yeah.
He puts it in a bottle. He's drinking it right now.
Yeah. I come back out.
Oh, that was empty when you put it down there?
Okay. I keep it down there. I can fill it back up. When you drink 80 of these a day, it comes out pretty clear. That's how you do it. That's how I do it. Oh, yeah.
What gives us ice for our water is really nice.
That's a pretty amazing story, John. Thanks.
Just on the water train.
They give you ice for your water?
Yeah.
That's your amazing benefit of working for them is that ice exists?
Ice.
And on payday, they feed us donuts and or bagels and or fruit. I learned that you're only supposed to take the fruit if you are gluten intolerant, apparently.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's a benefit of working where we work.
They give us bagels, fruit, and donuts. I don't eat the fruit because it's all like, you know, it's blueberries and all the stuff's cut out or whatever. but I can't eat it because I don't want my fruit to touch. Like the fruit juices touch. Like the whatever.
The strawberries will taste a lot like blueberries.
Yeah, and it's unacceptable.
They're surrounded by blueberries.
I'll eat a ton of blueberries. I'll eat a ton of strawberries. But for God's sakes, keep the fucking juice of a blueberry off my strawberry.
Yeah. I don't like blueberries in berry form. Like, they're okay, like, in a muffin or something. Mm. But by themselves, I think they're just, I don't know.
Kind of tart.
Well, they have other weird fruit that touches it. It's just juice everywhere. But I eat a donut every Friday because I'm a fucking normal person. And it's like my one donut every month. Or two donuts. I get two donuts a month. It's on payday. The only reason I go to work on my payday Fridays is a free donut.
Talking to a person, and I'm just scooping fruit onto my plate. And they're like, oh, you have gluten intolerance. And I'm like, no.
No. And I would have been like, what? Everyone comes and takes
fruit. That's what they said.
And they're like, oh, the fruit's for the intolerance.
You know how rare gluten intolerance actually is for people?
Not particularly.
Like, it's really rare.
Like, for one in a fucking 100,000. Yeah. Like, yeah. All the people you know who claim they're gluten intolerant are liars.
I got a sore tummy because I ate free diets.
Yeah. That's, and I guess that's kind of what
which has no value either. I know one person who literally was diagnosed from a doctor.
It's silly. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, everyone else is like, well.
And that's like you go in a room that has a loaf of bread in the corner 50 feet away from you and you die. Like, that's the peanut allergy on the plane level when you have that shit. All Jesus. The other stuff. Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of people.
Everyone else just being trendy and stupid.
Eat gluten.
If you drink if you drink almond milk or you avoid gluten just because, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Gluten, basically, most of the good diet foods you have would be something that would be, in a sense, gluten-free or similarly.
Gotcha.
That's why people seem to be on the kick for gluten-free, is because it's better, in a sense, for a diet, I guess.
It just sounds better. It sounds exciting. I'm gluten-free.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm cocaine-free. I'm on a cocaine-free diet.
Sounds like a good diet.
But it's kind of sad.
Yeah, so just by taking blueberries and strawberries instead of a donut, it was assumed that I had a gluten allergy, so I also put a donut on my plate.
Everyone I go goes over there more. Yeah, anyway, I guess talking about my work's lunch, my breakfast free meal thing is the most exciting thing in the world.
Yeah.
But it's weird. That's hilarious.
How the hell did we get on that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You said recommendations.
Brian said recommendations.
So here's a work story. My boss, so I got a successful review recently, which is good. It's fine. It's successful. I'm salary. You get a successful 95% of the time. It's just life.
Yeah.
But the last couple of years, I actually got better than that, and I switched managers. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. You got me that. You know, I'm like, what do you want to get a better review? You know, I want to know what are your expectations. And he's like, well, you would do this one action, which you kind of did this last year, which was cool, or this, which actually you kind of did this whole last year as well, or this, which you also did this last year. And I'm like, oh, interesting. He looked at me, he's like, oh, yeah. And then he had the moment where he just realized he literally described everything he wanted that I had done and every example possible, and I caught him because I fucking knew I fucking deserved better.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, then we moved on. It's just a little moment there. It kind of a little uncomfortable just for a second. He just realized, Yeah, we both know. We both know what just happened. But I didn't want to raise a stink because I still make good money. I'm not going to push anything. But it was just a little moment, a little like, yeah.
So he just admitted that he was screwing you out of getting a better raise.
Yeah. No, I mean, my company, you're talking like a successful is like a 2% raise.
Like a half a percent
the next, difference. It's a half. It's like pennies per paycheck. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
So I didn't push it at all. But it was just
made a little, your point.
Yeah, I made my point. I was like, yeah, you know, so.
Next year he'll know.
Yeah, next year he'll fucking know. That's all that mattered. I laid the groundwork.
Brian asserted dominance to his new manager.
I did. It was a pretty good moment. I was proud of myself. And then I left for the day. That was my work story.
You left work and played War Machine.
I played War Machine. I unleashed the Drakes on the world, which was amazing.
I was going to say, you were not planning that earlier.
Yeah,
it didn't seem like it.
Yeah, I know. I left work. I've been doing a lot of, like, instead of taking half day, I take like night. I just cut out like 90 minutes early so that I can really stretch out my vacation time. Because when you take like a vacation day and you stretch it up into a bunch of 90-minute segments, that's like many, many Fridays of leaving early, just a little bit. Plus, I started at 6 in the morning, so for me, I get to leave at like 1:30. It's amazeballs.
It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, working at 6 in the morning seems like it'd be terrible, but once you're awake, like, I hate waking up, but once I'm awake, I'm awake. Yep. Like, I don't mind. Like, 5 minutes later, I'm just like, do-do-do-do-do, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a zombie. I hit snooze 50 times. Like, I hate getting out of bed.
Is so fucking
first five minutes, I hate getting out of bed. But once I'm out, I can do cartwheels.
I question every decision in my life, and I feel like I'm a failure for that. Yeah, those first 5 minutes, but after that, If you make it to the shower, that's really the key. Get from bed to the shower, and then everything is fine.
I don't know. Depending on how quickly you get there and how warm the shower is, you might not count as being awake. Like, I can just stand in the shower for, like, an hour, just, like, zoning out.
Fucking burn. It's, like, scorching. Scorched earth policy.
Yeah.
Pretty good shit. Yeah. But I have no other topics. I just wanted to, I don't know. Do we have any more Zappities? Or do we go over?
We had new ones.
Yeah, we had a few new ones. Okay. But I'm not ready for that right now.
All right. So they're all hiding on the phone.
Hide. Yep.
We never did talk about War Machine.
No,
we didn't. I mentioned briefly. The Gobber. I mentioned I bought two chefs. That was the extent of the story.
I'm looking forward to bringing Maplin up. I'm dropping Maximus in my scoring lists.
He is a good 2-point solo.
He's going to fall out of my Annihilators, I think. He's got kind of a crazy tough Berserker in the middle of my Berserkers.
Don't scare your own guys.
They're fearless.
No, but like, you know. Your other guys.
I make sure my army's fearless. I don't... Non-fearless shit is stupid.
But your platoon.
Yeah.
Your platoon isn't fearless.
Yep.
Good thing they get benefits for being right next to your abomination models.
Yeah. Bonuses except for command.
So I have this weather widget that's on my phone.
You just need...
Oh, go ahead.
I just say you just need to have the TICOM.
Yeah. Which you can't do for playing just platoon.
You can bring the platoon in a 50-point army and then but bring the TICOM.
If you want upgrades, you have to play just the platoon.
You can get upgrades for your platoon by playing not just the platoon.
Nope.
The packet.
Nope. That is not true. Yeah, you get upgrades for winning platoon games.
Yeah, you also get upgrades for winning normal 50-point games. Nope. As long as the platoon is in that game.
No.
Yeah, I got the thing.
He all just right, said you no. get the thing. But that's not at all what I saw.
Zappity.
I did find it amusing, like, you know, Minions player, I play only pigs currently, and I was annoyed that the Minion platoon that was coming out was Gator-based, and then when it came out, they're actually way better in pigs, because they don't start with an upgrade. Their first upgrade is that you can play them in either pact, which means that the Gator players literally get no bonus benefit at all to playing those models, but the pig players get access to them. Which is huge, because you can put Defender's Ward on the Croak Hunters and stuff like that, and that's gigantic.
That is good.
And, like, page one, dude. I don't know why you're scrolling through all that stuff.
All right. Page 23.
All right. Read yourself. We're zapping.
Yeah. Go find it, and then Zappity Grumbles. Cater's way to beat Protector and Menoth.
Cater's way to beat Menoth?
Thing. Like, for
upgrades. I think, does he just Doomreaver them? Is that what Jordan does?
Say what again?
Cator... Beating Menoth, the best way to do it. Or does he pikeman him? I can't remember if he pikemans him or
he probably pikemans him because auto fire.
Yeah.
I just want to scroll.
Yeah. And terrible. It's probably the pikeman, the Butcher 1 pikeman theme list, I think he does. It's one of those two he runs over Menoth. I forget which it is. Pikeman or Dreamweavers. Eating meaty mighty mo.
Yeah, I have no
idea. I'm guessing both are pretty good choices, though.
Depends on the list, but yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to most Menoth, I would imagine the Pikemen would be the right choice.
Yep.
Because when they go in, they just blow everything up. And Jordan doesn't care about them passaging anyway, no matter what.
Yeah, I think so. It's a Zappity.
Grumble. Ways to improve alone time or get through painting units.
To improve alone time?
Yeah.
How to improve alone time? Stop having friends.
Yeah, well, it gives you more alone time.
Yeah.
Does it improve your alone time?
I think alone time is perfect the way it is.
Specifically for
the platoon
turn scenario.
Turn on the TV and boom.
You get league points for any scenario, but you only get upgrades for playing the platoon skirmish scenarios. So once you unlock them by winning platoon skirmish games, you can use them with those upgrades in normal games, but you only get
platoon skirmish scenario.
That's how you improve alone time.
Yeah. Painting, put on a show you've watched a million times and you can just paint.
Yeah, I just throw on something from Netflix that I've seen a million times. Right now we put on Justified until I hit the last season and then I'll have to pay attention again.
And you're watching Amazon Prime, not
Justified. Yeah, that's on Prime. That's
just to correct you, it's not on Netflix.
That is not Netflix.
Oh my God, I'm so tempted to get Amazon Prime now because somebody said that Batman the Animated Series is on it.
I think it is.
So I could watch Heart of Ice like anytime I wanted to. Or Silicon Soul, or any of the Clayface episodes.
The Clayface ones are definitely worth watching again.
Heart of Ice is fucking amazing. I mean, the entire comic book industry redid a character because of how good that episode was. Like, Mr. Freeze was a garbage C-tier, non-interesting character, and now he has one of the most interesting backstories.
That episode makes you feel.
Yeah.
And that is one reason why I would avoid it still to this day. I've watched it a few times, and every time I watch it, I'm just, why did I put myself through watching this again?
Yep.
Zappity. Favorite Western-themed board game? Shadows of Brimstone. Okay. Sniped before Brian.
Yeah.
What is that?
Cold one? Express.
That is what I was thinking of.
Sniped for John.
I got nothing.
Well, that's because we got Shadows Over Brimstone and Cold Express. Like, you got nothing else.
Nothing. You got nothing.
You're fucked.
It's true. I quit.
You quit Western board games. Excellent. Yep.
Zappity.
Crumble. Which Brian would you rather be stuck in a broken down elevator with, and why?
How long is the elevator broken?
I'm going to say for 48 hours.
That's a lot of pee and poop in that elevator. If you're, how can you get an elevator for 48 hours? What has happened in the world?
Over the weekend.
Yeah, you're stuck there
for the weekend. You get into the elevator late night, Friday night, and then you're not freed until Monday morning.
Your answer is easy.
Yourself.
It is pretty easy. I have a pee corner and a poop corner.
Kerr would keep you entertained.
Yeah, but he'd talk about terrible things, and I'd be just like,
and they're all entertaining.
They're not all entertaining.
Not always.
No.
Yesterday at the party, I came upstairs, and he was describing having menzies on his face, and I just literally backed away, down the stairs.
You took that completely out of context.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. There must have been a great context about having to wipe menstrual fluid off of your cheeks.
We were talking about Ronald McDonald, and then that was the natural progression.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. That makes perfect sense. He's well known for giving oral sex to women who are currently menstruating. That was one of their ad campaigns, actually.
That's how he gets the red lips.
Zappity. Grumble. Zappity. Please.
I choose Geezy.
I do as well. I know Brian, this Brian here the most. So.
Assuming, if they can't rescue us, they can drop two-player board games down the shaft, and we'll be entertained.
I don't think they're going to, though.
We'll figure it out.
Have your iPads with you, and then you guys can play.
Well, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, well, I always have something. Soon I'll always have Twilight Struggle on my phone.
Soon.
And Brian keeps War of the Ring in his pocket at all times.
Yeah.
Brian does also recycle his own water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're...
We'll stay hydrated. I can drink half of it. He'll share.
All right, Tavity.
Rumble.
Best film in the Cornetto Trilogy. Trilogy. What the fuck am I...
What?
Best film in the Cornetto Trilogy.
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, or World's End?
Shaun of the Dead.
I would say Shaun of the Dead seems like the obvious choice.
I want to see World's End at least three more times, because I actually really liked it the first time I saw it, but currently I'll stick with Shaun of the Dead.
I am going to be the odd one. I really like Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
But
I'm happy anyway I'm going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're all three great movies.
Yep. Candy Hearts or Candy Corn?
Hearts.
Done.
It's happening. I mean, candy corn is the worst candy, so, you know.
I mean, if I had a choice between the two, I don't mind candy corn. I mean, if it was candy corn and maybe some other horrible thing, like mounds.
I like so mounds. Good. Well, because they don't like the coconut, and he's trolling me.
You guys don't like
I'm coconut. Not trolling you.
Well, you knew I'd get angry about it, but even if it is true. But I don't get people who don't like the coconut. It's so
coconut's
good.
Legit.
Oh, my God. Like, you get the magic bars? Like, you know, have you not had magic bars?
I've not had a magic
bar. Oh, I'm going to make magic bars and bring them on Thursday. You're going to be so happy.
It sounds like a threat.
Oh, no. They're like so fucking good. This is not a marijuana thing either. This is chocolatey, syrupy, coconutty, nutty goodness. It's so good.
Brian's thinking right now, thank God we're playing Nathan's game.
He will eat these. Yeah. Like, even though they got coconut on top, these are so fucking delicious.
No, coconut ruins everything.
No. No.
It's like Electrobeck.
Because remember that one time I brought those crunchy little donuts and you're like, what's this on them? And I'm like, I think it's just crunchy stuff. And you're like, it's not coconut. And I'm like, no, it's not coconut. And then you ate like four of them. It turns out that was coconut.
I didn't have four of them.
I forgot that I was coconut. I thought it was just like
crunchy things.
I thought it was like streusel, you know, like on top of coffee cake.
Yeah, the texture of pulled coconut, I cannot get rid of it.
It's just bypass it.
It's just good. People try to hide it inside like a cake or something like that. No, you just it's like this cake has small intestines.
Zappity.
Zappity.
Boom.
Does Legan we fuck me?
Words are hard.
Jesus Christ. Does Legion actually have trouble killing assault commandos? I would say no, considering if you bring any of the awesome Legion, infantry, and they'll shoot it off the table.
Scythians will still go into it and do stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, bolt throwers work awesome with them. I mean, you can't just bring just immune to fire and expect you to be anti-Legion. Legion does have a lot of options outside of that.
Especially, it's helpful.
Yeah, it's helpful. But I mean, like their calves will eat those guys alive.
Yeah, the ladies on the stags.
Raptors. Raptors will just eat them alive, especially if they have Wenessa there too.
Yeah.
Or whatever
her name is. Even like a Blightbringer nowadays, shooting out that 5-inch AoE is still probably going to hurt. Because I don't think that's typed naturally.
What is it?
The Blightbringer?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it's typed either.
It might be, not be. I know the bolt thrower was always the go-to non-typed, and then the Naga. But, no. I mean, it's helpful. It's really nice to be immune to Ravagors and to the clouds they leave behind.
And if you go into them, and if Legion can't kill the Assault Commandos, the good news is the Assault Commandos can't actually do anything back to Legion.
Yeah. I mean,
they will probably miss them, and if they hit them, they won't do any actual damage back. So,
that is pretty much the true part of that question is, why are you taking Assault Commandos in the first place?
The Flamethrower guy will do some damage, and the rest of you will just go, I wish I could hurt something.
I was wrong. It is typed fire.
It would be really cool if you could take the flamethrower just by itself and just take three of those flamethrowers out. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you have to pay for a five-man.
I'm really hoping you get buffed in next to Murata. Like, they get, commandos do something.
Well, I mean, they hinted at revamping a lot of stuff. Like, now people are getting more and more evidence that's pointing towards an eventual remix.
Yeah. Zappy. Anything else?
No, that was it for Zap. Oh, there was one on Twitter that I forgot to open up.
Tord wanted to know if he should make a sandwich, and the answer is always yes, because sandwiches are the best. And then he wanted to hire one of you to murder me.
No, he wants to know who is the best person to send the PayPal money to for the
kicking Nathan in the groin thing?
No, it was murder.
Oh.
No, it's hypothetically. Who is the best person to PayPal if you wanted to arrange to have Nathan murdered hypothetically?
I know people.
Right now, Andy would do it for free.
No. I love you, Nathan.
I'll still do it. I like him, but I'll do it for money.
I'm gonna say something off air, but I love you, Nathan.
Yeah.
We're very excited for the WITC. It'd be nice, Travis, if you would have responded to my talk about getting you on our podcast. And said you want to amuse.
It's hurtful.
It's very hurtful.
When are we going to get somebody who's on the WITC committee to talk on the podcast?
Yeah.
When would that happen?
Yeah.
When? Find somebody.
Somebody worth a damn.
Look at Dan. He helps a little bit, right? He's a helper.
Yeah.
He has some input.
I also have some stuff to pass on to you for patches and dice and such.
Cool. Yeah.
I talked about that, but I don't post about that. What is the next awesome thing Nathan will hate?
Everything.
Gravy? Do you like gravy?
Yeah.
People are very mad about your anti-tea comments. I'm very happy with their community.
Do you like chicken salt?
Tea is so bad. Like, the thing with tea and coffee, I don't know which is worse. Drinking the water that you like boiled grass clippings in, or drinking water that you like soaked through burnt wood. And those are the two choices.
It's not wood.
Okay. It's yeah. Beans. Oh, sure.
It's made out of cinnamon or something.
Okay. Well, some people make it out of cat shit.
It's not cat.
It is shit. Technically isn't a variety of cat.
Is it a variety of cat?
Yeah. Okay. It's some Guatemalan monkey cat that shits out the beans.
Monkey.
It's technically part of the cat family, I believe.
I'm waiting for you to play XCOM 2 and not like it.
That's not possible.
Well, I mean, it shouldn't be possible.
I was actually going to start live streaming me playing XCOM 2, and it was going to be Terror from the Deep. I was going to go back and play the classic XCOM 2. But that game's fucking hard.
XCOM 2 can be quite hard.
The classic XCOMs are so goddamn brutal.
I didn't play the classic ones.
Oh, they're so brutal. But gravy's good.
Gravy is really good. Gravy's
really good, man.
Chicken salt.
Chicken salt.
That's what Tort asked.
The fuck is chicken salt?
I don't know.
Is it salt with like... if you took probably, like chicken bouillon and crushed it down to the actual version?
It's probably what it is. It's just chicken bouillon is what it is.
Yeah.
I was going to bring crackers and eggs, but we came right here from your podcast. I apologize. I think I might one of these.
Taking them to the party.
I forgot. I failed. I was going to bring them to Saturday. It's a big bowl of crackers and eggs.
Onions?
No, what?
Just trying to find things you just like.
It's all good. Tort's asking what things you might find to hate now.
Onions are good.
All right. So I guess we'll have to try again next week. Watching
Brian eat onion rings is great.
It is.
They're really good.
The breading is great.
Yeah.
Eat it like corn on the cob, where you eat the outer surface and just leave the inside on the plate.
Yeah.
I love Denny's onion rings because you can peel them right off without even having to touch the onions. That's the best deep fried onion rings there is.
All right, and Green is asking who has an open spot in their WITC team.
Man, if I had known he wanted in, I would have...
You would have just bumped me?
Probably, but too late now.
You can't have two Kuriks.
That Kickstarter should help a lot with the WITC price. I know we've only got a few teams signed up so far, but there's a lot of teams out there that haven't signed up yet, and I know from talking to people that a lot of people are holding off because they don't know how much it's going to cost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, based on that initial post that was the most pessimistic possible post, we said that it could cost as much as $500, and that's obviously not happening because the Kickstarter did have money come in. Mm-hmm. So we'll be able to, you know, soon, hopefully. And we might just wait until the end of the Kickstarter just so we can do it 100% with accuracy. But since the Kickstarter... The nebulous things was like the cost of the room was going to have to be split amongst all the teams. And then the terrain and clocks and things like that, those are set in stone. Like each table has its own share of that, right? You know, yeah. Like 10 tables worth of terrain or 100 tables worth of terrain, the price per table is the same. And the number of teams will, there's always two people per table, right? So you can take and math out how much each table costs.
Are you going with 3D terrain or like
no, the, we're going the 2D. 2D? We're going 2D with stuff? 2D, yeah, because yeah. We got a deal on it.
And but, it's really nice that we can just lay it out. It's
easy yeah, and storage is so nice, transport is so nice. Mm-hmm. But the point is, the room cost was nebulous because all the other costs, you know, each table needs one set of terrain, one set of zones, you know, one thing of this, one, you know, one 4x4 board and a 4-foot table and two chairs, and that's what a table costs. And for two people, it'll always cost X dollars per person. Mm-hmm. So whether we had two teams, 16 teams, or 32 teams sign up, it was just going to be that number times the number of players, which means we can set that cost in stone and say each team that signs up has to pay X dollars because we know that's what a table costs. The nebulous cost was the hall, because like if the hall's mm-hmm. like the hall costs $3,000, for example, if one guy shows up, he needs to pay $3,000 for the hall. If 3,000 people show up, they're paying a dollar each for the hall, right? So we have this weird sliding scale yeah. depending on how many people signed up, and that's because of that. And that's why the price wasn't set in stone, was because of that one thing. So really just, and we'll crunch the numbers, but hypothetically, we should just be able to say, well, if the Kickstarter pays for the hall entirely, the price per table is blank, which means the price per team is blank. So we should be able to figure out that number mm-hmm. and set it in stone and put it out there so people don't have to worry that they're going to sign up and all of a sudden it costs way more than they want to pay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that number will be relatively low.
Yeah, I mean, you should be able to figure out how much the hall costs, take that out of the Kickstarter, and then as more money gets put into it, you just say, well, now a little bit more is knocked off.
Well, assuming the Kickstarter has enough to just flat out pay for the hall, then like I said, it's set in stone. Yeah. Each table costs X dollars.
Because then they're basically using all the money that they're getting from the WITC for the ATC.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, if the Kickstarter doesn't cover all the terrain, like if the Kickstarter literally only exactly covered the hall, that's fine because we just charge exactly the amount needed per team mm-hmm. to cover the terrain. So the point is we should be able to math it out, and if what I have just said is correct and I'm not missing a loophole, we should be able to figure out the cost per team soon and put it in stone and put it out there so people can sign up with confidence knowing how much it's going to cost them.
My team isn't signed up because I'm lazy.
That is also a reason a lot of teams possibly aren't signed up.
But I have my team, and we haven't thought of a name either. I'm trying to find a name that's yet that's offensive, but yet one that Travis won't veto. So I'm trying to find the line of what I can call the team, but yet
you need to figure out something subtle, like the South Park movie's title,
yeah,
where it's after the fact he catches on that it was a dick joke.
Exactly.
You know, make it political, like really we lean to the left.
Now, because Travis is listening,
he don't listen to that last part, Travis.
Ignore it.
You can edit it out.
No, it's going out live right now on the stream.
Hit the delay button.
He is the one. Oh, I could just cut the stream.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not going to help because it's already gone out.
No, turn back time.
It'll cut the stream like right at the point where I say it'll cut the stream.
Quick, change the channel.
If I could turn back time.
Recommendations? Have you recommended things now?
No.
You don't have one?
You don't have a recommendation?
I wanted more awkward silence. That's what I wanted.
Yeah. We had our quota for awkward silence. We did a good job with that.
I blame Casey for not being here.
That's true.
She got 3 hours closer to having her paper done.
Yeah. Well, why didn't she get it done on Thursday when I wasn't playing Galaxy Trucker? Because of her.
She was working instead.
Fuck it. That's stupid.
I fully agree.
She can write her paper at work.
John, what do you recommend?
Playing more board games.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
No, good job!
I know, right?
Hey, I support that.
Yeah.
More like, we play a lot of four-player board games, more 5-6-player board games, because get to meet new people, get to play a game that we've never played before, at least in a group that I've been in.
Host just
play more than four-player board games, four-player board games.
What? Player,
yeah.
Player?
Yeah, that's what I would.
Four recommend. Player, player?
Yeah, more than four player board games. That's what I would recommend.
So you should have a team of four players playing one player.
Yes.
For a board game.
Yes.
There are games where you can do that.
Well, you could do every game like that, and it would be the most horrendous thing in the world. That one player has to listen to a committee behind him tell him how to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Four player War of the Rings sometime.
Is War of the Rings the one that's two player?
Yeah, but there's a four-player variant.
Is that worth two on each side? And
yeah. But what you do on your team, you take turns actually playing it. Like one whole turn. Like, I'll play next turn, and you get this turn.
It's not good.
You can play War Machine that way. Just tag in with, like, no context.
No. Oh, my God. A hot seat War Machine.
Yeah.
Where everybody has got like a, there's table sides assigned, there's armies in play, game is going, and then everything's all on the same death clock, and then all of a sudden, like you say, switch, and then everyone and has to go to
that one.
No, everyone has to go to a new table.
Yeah.
They don't know where it is.
That would be a little too crazy. I'm actually thinking with two player, because you'll just have to, like, watching what they're doing, you have to figure out what the long-term plan that your partner's going.
No communication.
No communication.
We'll call it schizophrenia.
Like, you're sitting and you're watching. Like, you're on the sidelines and you're watching. You're like, okay, he's doing that. He must be setting up for the, okay. And then he ends his turn, and then you sit there, and then for next turn, you just have to go and switch with them, come maintenance phase, and they don't get to tell you at all. You just have to figure out what the plan was.
That'd be something good to do for a stream. It basically bring, if we're going to stream that game live, show the game being played, and then bring the people that are watching.
Commentate.
Live do the commentary. And then they have to switch. Yeah.
And then the people who came out could explain on the stream what their thoughts were, and then they can watch as their partner doesn't follow through on their brilliant plans.
Yep.
They were supposed to push the guy an inch. What the fuck is he doing?
Nice.
That could be doable in the basement.
So we have play bigger board games. The challenge with 5 or 6 player games is some of them, like today, you have to, like, we do the 4 player thing on Thursdays because we can get a couple games done.
Oh, yeah, no, but I get that. Just,
but it is nice. I mean, there's like Battlestar, some of the games. I'd love to play some 5-6 player StarCraft more often.
More often than twice?
Well, I mean, I play more, but I mean, I can always.
Yeah.
I mean, I could play that game. I have multiple games. If I play daily, I'd be okay with.
It sucks trying to fit in a day. I mean, Brian at least makes days on the month or so we can go. Yeah. Play all board games.
Pretty much everybody listening to this podcast every once in a while makes the time to have an entire day devoted to playing a steamroller tournament. Mm-hmm. So you can devote a day to playing a 6-hour game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you know, you got to pick your hobbies. I mean, it is what it is.
Recommendation 8?
I liked The Witch. I think
I'm confused.
It's not The Witch. God damn it!
I'm confused. Raylene liked it because it was slower than the other movie. She didn't like that. It was slower.
Yeah.
I think she just liked the theme of witches. Because, I mean, she didn't like...
she likes gothic more than stupid teenagers. Because she liked Crimson Peak as well. And Crimson Peak also nothing happened.
Dante's Peak?
Yes, Dante's Crimson Peak.
Because the witch was entertaining in a very slow, methodical... And then she flew.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's weird because it's... I don't mind long, boring movies if they're interesting in that boredom.
Like, you say bored, but there are still segments throughout the movie of terrifying things happening, sprinkled in there. Even It Follows had moments of craziness. Yes. And this has moments of craziness, but it's still long and drawn out.
But like Andy and I were talking about the Star Trek movies, and everybody talks about the even-numbered movies and whatever, and the original Star Trek motion picture, Star Trek 1, whatever you want to call it, is... like 7 hours long and nothing happens and it's the most boring damn thing in the world. And I love it because if you know that that's what it is, it can be.
It's like 2001.
Yeah, 2001. The other one that I say, Andromeda Strain, the movie version of the Andromeda Strain is fucking dry and boring as hell. And I've watched it a dozen times. I love that movie. I enjoy both
2001 and Andromeda Strain.
Yeah. And like nothing happens in Andromeda Strain. It's so boring. Not until some shoehorned thing where defense lasers shoot him in the face because they're designed to kill monkeys.
Yeah, that was...
That scene's weird and out of nowhere, and it's the closest to an action sequence.
It's out of place.
Yeah, but whatever. The point is, like, sometimes it's interesting to have something more dry and thoughtful. But you have to know you're getting into it. It's hilarious all the negative reviews for the Vivitch because it's people just like, that wasn't scary, F. It's like, it wasn't supposed to be scary, A.
Well, marketing is always rough for some of those things because they try to market to get the horror fan. They market
it as if it was a horror movie.
But it still kind of is, but it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's more just misery and depression. I mean, what are they supposed to do, like, in the trailer? And like, see the movie where nothing happens and everything's terrible and eventually everyone dies the end.
You see a butt.
You do see a butt. You see a few butts.
You do.
Most of them are very not a thing that you want to see.
Correct.
Witches in 1600 folklore are not like super hot, sexy ladies. They are goblin, troll, beasts that are... It's like the second version of the naked woman in The Shining. Not the first version of the naked woman in The Shining.
Well, it's like the witch is over. You're like, I guess the witch trials were a good idea.
Yes, yes. I suddenly support hanging all those women. And remember, crushing that one guy.
If you throw them in the water, if they sink, they're not a witch.
Correct, correct.
I recommend watching Chuck on Netflix. I've watched Chuck a lot of times. I'm rewatching Chuck, and I'm always happy when I watch Chuck.
Don't you own all the seasons?
I own Chuck, but it's not Netflix, so I'm at the gym. I can like put it on. I go on elliptical for one episode of Chuck. That's my time. My timer is...
It's an hour-long show?
It's 44 minutes
or whatever, yeah.
So it's perfect, and I can go through like four episodes a week. So it'll take me like, you know, the half a year to get through the whole show.
I did that for The Sopranos.
Nice. I have to be careful on some of that. I went to the gym. I can't watch some of the HBO shows because suddenly it gets like too much. You know, like I can't watch Game of Thrones at the gym because suddenly there's just too many like awful things happening on the screen. And if someone walks by and they just see like boobies and dicks and blood and guts, they'll be like, "What's happening?" I'm like,
"That's what they get.
That's what they get." Yeah.
Depending on the workout, there's going to be boobies and dicks and blood and guts at the gym anyway. Like if you're working out at the gym and there's not dicks and blood and guts, you're not working out hard enough.
Yeah, don't watch Chuck. I mean, it's great. It's just a fun show.
Boobies.
That's mine.
Did you get around to recommending something?
I said no at first. No, the show I'm going to recommend is all because it's a shell of a show that it previously was. Nathan already knows what I'm talking about. You should watch Join or Die on the History Channel, which is Craig Ferguson. It's a panel show where they basically talk about something that's bad or some kind of topic that they talk about that they have examples of. Have they
all been the worst so far?
Then they have like examples of their topic they are, and they basically vote on like if it's the best or the worst or something like that.
They
and
pick the one that most exemplifies whatever the topic at hand
is. But it has the closest feel to Craig Ferguson that I've seen since his show went off the air.
All it's missing is Jeff.
It is. All it's missing is Jeff.
And Secretariat.
Well, again, all that stuff added into that show would be golden because his guests are usually just like one comedian, somebody who's an expert on whatever subject that they're on, and then somebody else. And the first two episodes I've seen so far have been pretty solid. I have not watched a third one yet, but yeah, Craig Ferguson's Join or Die.
Craig Ferguson, anything.
Yeah.
His autobiography is really interesting. I mean, his talk show obviously was great.
He needs to be a Doctor fucking Who. He fucking is friends with everyone over there. Yeah. And he's fucking friends with the current Doctor, for God's sake.
Yeah. It's bullshit that he hasn't even, like, guested as anything. Like, him being the Doctor would be awesome, but that's getting greedy. Like, how has he not even had a single episode role?
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's a fucking cameo. Like, two lines. Like, you don't... Ugh. So dumb.
They should just have Jeff in the background. Like,
Jeff could be the villain of the week.
Jeff could be in the background, like doing something to a Dalek.
Oh yeah.
Was it sex robot that he had to stop saying? There was something they took away from Jeff when he was still button operated. I remember there's one they did for like half an episode, and then they're like, we can't do that one anymore.
It was probably just one of his quotes because they kept.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I probably it was sex robot because I don't remember him saying sex robot that much anymore.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was early before Jeff was mic'd. But yeah, that's it.
Boom! Well, everyone needs to celebrate Leap Year Day tomorrow.
Hopefully, this was. Oh yeah, the Oscars are happening now. Yeah. Did Fury Road win?
No, I don't know.
It's not for a while.